All right, Marshall, thanks so much for joining us today. I wanted to introduce everybody to Marshall Mosher. He's the co-founder and CEO of Vestigo. It's virtual reality for engaging team-building experiences that push teams outside their comfort zone and help build trust in meaningful relationships. You guys know I always like to tell you how I connected to my guests, and Marshall and I have an unusual story. He was spending time in St. Pete, my hometown, and doing something really cool by the water, kite surfing, I believe it's called.
Kiteboarding, yeah.
Kiteboarding. And I was out having my normal sunrise walk and ran into him with my dog, and we chit-chatted a little bit, and here we are. So thank you again so much for joining me today, Marshall, and I'd love to give you the opportunity to tell us anything else about yourself that you'd like to add, as well as a little bit about the Vestigo brand and what you guys do.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that was a good overview. Just like you said, we use virtual reality adventure experiences to build powerful relationships and leadership development coaching for remote teams. So a lot of people have gone through like a ropes course style experience. Well, if you take the themes of that experience of challenging yourself and your team to get outside of your comfort zone and coming together as a team closer together from those challenge-based experiences on the other side, we can use virtual reality to replicate a lot of that for remote teams that can't have the luxury of being together in person. And instead of a ropes course, we'll build recreations of real-life adventure environments that most people will never have the chance to go to, like Mount Everest or the side of Yosemite's Half Dome or places like that give the opportunity to bring teams closer together through a challenge-based shared experience.
All right, fantastic. I'm so fascinated to hear more about your story. And I always like to get started. Tell us a little bit about your why. What was your inspiration for launching Vestigo, and why is it so important to you to kind of push teams outside their comfort zone?
Yeah, well, personally, I love all kinds of adventure sports myself. It was something that really helped me to give me a catalyst to realize that I could do more than I thought I could, and that a lot of our barriers as humans are up here in our mind of telling ourselves we're not good enough, we can't do that, when in reality, it's really all about the choice to try something you've never thought you'd try before, get outside of your comfort zone, and that transformation that comes on the other side of that. And adventure sports for me were a really big catalyst for helping to realize my potential. And I've seen that in others and in teams when they go through these types of experiences, being able to have that same type of transformation. And I really love the intersection of adventure and technology. So being able to combine the two with a brand new type of technology that finally has the ability to create an experience, not just a form of communication like what we're doing now, but really a shared experience that your brain remembers as an experience. Like if you actually went to do that adventure with that person, that's what VR can do. And being able to use that new type of technology to create a really powerful level of impact is something that I'm really passionate about because of the impact that it had on me, being able to give that to others that have never had the chance to do those kinds of things.
All right, fantastic. Yeah, I think there's, I'm hearing talk about experience, and it's something, I'm by no means as much of an adventurer as you are, but I've always been a big believer in that experience. You can create it, and I've shared with some of the other episodes about my health journey and the amount of time I have spent in bed. It's a lot. Recovery requires it. But that was always something very healing for me, was creating it in your own mind, like just using that time to visualize and make it a sensory experience, and you can really envision yourself living the reality that you want to be in versus where you're stuck, and then making an opportunity to really ground that into reality once you're kind of out of bed and can get back to living regular life. So I love the idea of bringing this to teams.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I wanted to hear a little bit more about kind of how you're uniquely positioned over, especially since COVID, more and more people translating to remote environments and really struggling with how to offer a connected experience. Something I'm super passionate about, having worked remotely and led teams since 2004, there are so many different tools to do it. There's just a lack of awareness. So I'd like to understand kind of how you're uniquely positioned to solve for that problem and what you can bring to teams who may be struggling to find that connection since transferring to a remote environment.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of potential for virtual reality and not a lot of companies that are leveraging it. And we see this whenever a new technology comes out. When the computer or the cell phone comes out, oftentimes there are more companies that think, oh, it's just, fad. It's not going to change the way that the world works, and then see what the computer and cell phone did. So we're trying to be one of the early movers in being able to utilize virtual reality for experiential learning for companies. And there's, I mean, just that alone is really one of our differentiators. There's just not a lot of companies that are doing that. But the big factor for us is there's a lot of leadership development programs you could put your team through. But the real impact comes in the psychology and the research support this comes from experiential learning. Experiential learning means you're not just sitting in front of a computer or in front of a teacher in a classroom getting lectured at. You are actually doing something that puts into practice the things you are learning. So you're still getting a bit lectured at, but you're doing something in conjunction with that. And biologically, as humans, that's how we've evolved to learn things. It's not a whole lot of time that, you know, as humanity was evolving, that we just sat around and like learned something from someone talking. Like, we were actively doing something in conjunction with someone teaching us something to learn that thing. So experiential learning is incredibly powerful psychologically, but it's also a bit challenging from a logistic standpoint to be able to do that when you're teaching themes like getting outside of your comfort zone and navigating the unknown and pushing through fear, because there aren't a ton of teams that are willing to take their team, you know, on the edge of a cliff and learn how to rappel, and too many worries with liability and travel and budget, you know, legality of you know, people, you know, just being worried about what happens if someone gets hurt, or if someone has any physical limitations, not being able to do that. So virtual reality is a really incredible tool to put your brain in the mental state that it would be in if you were actually at the edge of a cliff doing some challenge-based experience without actually being at the edge of a cliff. So being able to use that type of environment to functionally practice the themes that you're hearing about when you're learning it is the game changer. That is really the secret sauce that makes it so much more empowering.
All right. Yeah, so it's monkey see and monkey do, not monkey hear, monkey learn.
Right. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, do you have a favorite participant experience story or two that you can share with the audience, you know, outside of jumping off the cliff? Are there any kind of key takeaways or moments where you were just really proud to be in the position that you're at and be offering the solution to companies?
Yeah, for sure. I was just leading a session. This was actually one of the more recent ones, but just last week I was just doing it for, you know, a friend and his family. So, you know, we obviously focus on companies, but we can absolutely use the exact same type of experience and programming to help families come together. And this friend is just a really good friend that I wanted to help him out and do something nice for him because he's done so much for me. So I led the experience for his him and his family and his grandma. We did this plank walk experience where there's this plank that looks like it's coming out of the edge of a 20-story or 30-story building, super high up, and you have to walk out on the plank and then jump off. His grandma was absolutely terrified of heights. Well, for one, like, she's older, she wouldn't be able to like physically do that in real life even if she wanted to, but she's also just mentally terrified of heights. And getting up on this virtual plank, we had a real plank on the ground, so it makes it feel more realistic. Getting up on this virtual plank and like seeing, I mean, it took her like 20 minutes of standing there and be like, no, I don't want to do it. And like, it's ridiculous for everyone watching because it's like, you're just walking across your living room floor. You've done it a million times, but seeing her push through that fear, get to the edge, and then she actually went a little bit further in jumping off the front, and then seeing the impact that it had on her, and her saying like, I've never done that in my whole, you know, my life, and she's like 80. Just seeing that impact is pretty powerful and exciting to know that just by using some type of new technology, we can teleport her into a mental environment she's never been in and give her the ability to challenge herself in a way she never thought she would probably ever do for the rest of her life.
Yeah, that's incredible. Just expansion. That's awesome to see somebody at 80 who can still kind of participate in that way and expand their own horizons and get more out of life. That's it's really exactly. Motivating.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So who can benefit most from incorporating your team building experiences? And feel free to share any of the expected outcomes or feedback that you've received as well.
Yeah. So companies that are fully remote, that are concerned about keeping their employees. I know that's pretty broad, but when you have a fully remote team, it's harder for people to build relationships, and relationships tend to keep people at companies more than a paycheck does. So being able to build powerful relationships takes intentionality and companies being willing to invest in their people. We spend so much money as companies recruiting great talent, so much, a stupid amount, really, in my opinion. And then we don't invest anything on keeping them around. And unfortunately, companies are just sort of willing to invest all that money in finding someone to then lose them 6 months to 12 months later, which I think is ridiculous. So putting a relatively small amount of an investment on the back end to keeping the large investment that companies made in recruiting such a rock star team is extremely important. And virtual reality is a really powerful tool to build those relationships amongst a team that isn't physically together in person, but also a really great opportunity to be able to contribute to that person's leadership development journey, and being a great opportunity to be able to empower that person to be a, you know, more, you know, bigger risk taker, a bigger innovator, a better communicator and leader through investing a little bit in your team's growth. So it's really teams that are remote that are trying to find ways to build powerful team relationships and invest in leadership development.
Great, thank you. And yeah, with all the talk of the great resignation and all the challenges people have with recruiting and retaining talent right now, I think it's poised now more than ever for leaders to really step up and hear what their teams need to feel and get connected and engaged. To me, it's becoming a point, it's kind of at a tipping point where it's either change and do better, or you're not going to have much to work with. People are really kind of starting to 100%. Stand up and make a change. And I get the challenges. Again, I've remotely led teams for quite some time, so I get the challenges from it. It is hard to deliver a really connected approach in a remote environment, and it can be challenging. And oftentimes, companies, the first thing to do is learning and development. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But those kind of intangible things I found are usually what make people want to stay at their job and what get the best satisfaction. I know the feedback I always heard from my team when I'd come in and step into a new team and develop an L&D plan and share it with them, they were like, oh, wow, like I really want to be here the whole year to get the value out of this. And it was pretty minimal stuff. It just hadn't been done for them before stepping into a new role in a new organization. So I imagine that things like virtual reality and the type of elevated experiences that you guys are delivering just kind of blow that out of the water. People are hungry for development. They want to be better. I'm a huge believer that everybody has their own unique brand of genius. So just kind of getting out of their way and letting them feel confident and be able to show that is what helps deliver results and impact the bottom line.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you wish more people understood about what it takes to change a company's culture? So if there's leaders hearing this and saying, all right, it's time, I need to invest and I'm not happy with where we're at, what do you wish more people understood about what it actually entails to make that change?
Yeah, in general, I wish more people understood that it takes a level of risk taking that most companies are on the surface not comfortable with. And that applies to a lot of things, even outside of team leadership development. But every single company's CEO and board of directors will say, we want our team to be more innovative. We want our company to be more innovative. But then you take what that actually means. Innovation is trying something that's never been done before. It means getting outside of your comfort zone. It means being willing to take a risk and fail. And then you take that failure back to the CEO or the board. And they're like, yeah, we lost money on this, bunch of money on this thing that didn't work out. And then the team almost gets punished for it, when in reality, that is what will ultimately lead to the one big breakthrough that could be a make or break outcome for the company. Like Amazon has a really great quote that, like, when their Fire Phone came out, I don't know if people even remember that, they tried to make a cell phone, Amazon, and it was a total failure. And when Jeff Bezos went to like the board of directors and they were like, yeah, how do you explain this failure? He was like, we're going to have a lot of failures, and this isn't even our biggest failure. This is going to make our big failures look small in comparison. And if you're not comfortable with that, you need to leave, because we're about innovating, and innovating means changing the status quo, trying things that are going to fail in order to create something that's going to be massively impactful, and just like totally reframed it in the right light to get people to understand that failure is a necessary part of innovation and progress. But there's a psychological component to that that's really important, is the ability to navigate the unknown. And that takes a decent level of willingness to push past the fear of the unknown. We don't like unknown things as humans. We like being able to plan something and have it go exactly according to plan, but that's not how progress happens. So I think that's one of the big factors that I wish more people realized, in terms of everyone wanting an innovative team, but not really knowing what that actually means and what that actually takes.
Yeah, so well said. It makes me think of kind of the larger issue of the society as a whole. I mean, from our schools are programmed to get the right answer. Do not make mistakes. You are punished for making mistakes and rewarded for getting the right answer. And it's not very conducive to learning. And it actually, I think, does a disservice in that it teaches people to be afraid of mistakes, which are our greatest teachers, and how you can learn and do incredible things. I know I've always been super grateful. I worked for a CEO early in my career, and he used to be very public about wanting us to fail. And obviously, he wanted us to win, but it being okay to fail. His saying was always fail fast and fail forwards. So he's like, if you're gonna make a mistake, do it early and do it in the right direction. And he's like, I don't care
Sounds
about
like a great
anything.
CEO.
I don't care about anything else. It was a really good lesson to learn. It's something that's benefited me and I've been able to take and translate to other teams that I've led. And I've always been very grateful for that. So what are a few accomplishments that you are most grateful for along your journey?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think any amount of progress or success or accomplishment takes a pretty great level of mentorship and help and guidance. And I'm super grateful for the people that have believed in me, that have invested their time and energy in helping me to do the things that I've been working so hard and passionate about doing. I think mentorship is a really important thing that a lot of people take for granted. And I think a lot of things we've been able to do, we would not have been able to do otherwise without that.
All right. Yeah, surrounding yourself with good people is always a privilege.
Exactly.
So Corporate Counterculture is a podcast that's centered around people and brands making a revolutionary difference in their field. So I always like to ask, what does being revolutionary mean to you?
Yeah, well, I think a little bit about what I talked about with virtual reality. I think revolutionary means something that is totally changing the status quo, that's different, that's innovative, that is reframing how people think of solutions to a problem.
And where do you see Vestigo heading throughout the next year or so, whatever timetable, whatever you're able to share with us?
Yeah, well, as remote work becomes something that people realize is more here to stay, which is starting to happen. Companies will then realize, well, we need the tools to empower remote work. And I think that will be a big growing point for virtual reality. And I'm really excited to not have to necessarily play as much of an educational role. So whenever there's a company that's leveraging a brand new form of technology, that company not only has to sell the customer on why their product is the best one out there, they have to sell the customer on what is this new technology and why they should even use it in the first place. So it's like almost like two sales processes. And right now, we're very much still in that phase with virtual reality. We have to teach companies why virtual reality is beneficial before we can even teach them why what we do in virtual reality is beneficial. So I'm excited for the next few years, which will be the time when people get it with virtual reality, and then we just have to do the second part of that process.
One less thing to worry about.
Exactly.
Well, being such a huge adventure sports fan, can you tell us about what is one of your favorite adventures you've had so far?
Yeah, well, I love it's hard to explain kind of like adventure stories because I kind of do it on a daily basis. But in terms of sports, I've really loved getting into kiteboarding and paragliding. Those are the two more recent ones that I've gotten into, and have just like quickly become obsessions for sure. Recently, I got the chance to paraglide over the Great Pyramids in Egypt as one of the first people to do that. They just allowed that. They just started opening that up this past year, and they invited about 30 pilots from around the world to be some of the first people in history to paraglide over the pyramids. And it wasn't, a hard or technical flight by any means. It was super easy, but being able to fly over something that's that old and historic and monumental to society, and literally like fly right up to the top. And like, I could have landed on the top if I wanted to, because the top's actually flat. A lot of people don't realize that the top had like a massive gold pyramid cap that someone in history stole that gold part. So it's actually flat. So I was like, I got so close. I could land on top. I really wanted to, but I didn't. That was a pretty epic adventure.
Yeah, I got chills. That's incredible. That sounds awesome. And I'm also super intrigued. I'm going to have to go look this up, but how do you steal the gold cap of it? Like, it's enough of a wonder that they made the pyramids, let alone who and how did they steal the gold top of it?
I know, right? Well, a lot of the pyramids have been stolen. The entire outside part of the pyramids was all like nice granite, and now it's like just the big blocks that were like part of the inside of the building. It's almost like if you have one of those super shiny new like skyscrapers in like a downtown environment that has all those really pretty windows on the outside that just looks like it's like one big sheet of glass. Mm-hmm. If someone came along and just stole all of the glass off of it, and it just was like the frame, that's pretty much what we see as the pyramids right now. It used to be a really pretty granite that was all ripped off and stolen to build a lot of the temples and mosques that came later, and including the gold cap. So they used to look a lot different than they do now.
Wow, I had no idea the pyramids were naked. All right, yeah. Learn something new every day. Yeah. We strip them down.
Yep.
So, you know, you shared a little bit about this, but again, any examples or stories behind it, personal or with your brand, in terms of like why you think it's so important for people to push beyond their limiting beliefs? And I know that we talked about innovation and the importance of that. But especially in today's environment, I want to kind of bring up the obvious and the elephant in the room. Not only are people struggling to transition to remote environments, but there's just a lot going on in the world. Everybody's feeling a lot of collective suffering and either personally affected or sensing it from the collective. So is there anything that virtual reality and your experiences offers in terms of that? Have you noticed anything different throughout living through the times that we're all living in now?
Yeah, well, this theme of using adventure sports as a catalyst for, mental, empowerment and breakthrough, I think is extremely important for society as a whole. One of the big misconceptions, if not, in my opinion, the biggest misconception that humanity has as a whole, is that our comfort zones and creating a comfortable, stable life is the goal. There's this great quote that's something like, your comfort zone will kill you. Which I totally resonate with, in the sense that we are made as humans to navigate change. And when we don't have change to navigate, we become depressed. So like a part of the point of life is to be able to have some type of challenge to push through. How boring would it be to watch a movie where the protagonist has literally no challenge to push through? There aren't movies like that, because that's not the structure of a good story that we like. It's always the same formula, the hero's journey. Someone who doesn't think they can do something, confronted with a big challenge, and then a mentor who comes along to help them through that challenge, and then they're a changed person on the other side. If they never had that challenge, the whole story wouldn't exist, and the person would never go through that changed-based thing. So we have this misconception as society that change is bad, when in reality, probably the only thing we can guarantee in life is change. So being willing and excited and comfortable with navigating change, I think, is a fundamental point that contributes to happiness and fulfillment that oftentimes gets a bit overlooked in the typical view of what is happiness, what is the future that we want to build, which looks super stable and happy and nothing ever changes, which is actually not what we biologically want as humans.
Yeah, I mean, change is where all the magic happens. It's where all the good, yeah. It doesn't always feel good. It doesn't always feel good. But it is always a beautiful thing, I feel. And you bring up an interesting kind of point in the dichotomy of a lot of leadership right now, which is there's such appetite and such talk about change. It's everywhere. If you're on LinkedIn, if you're in any circles networking, everybody's talking about change and revolutionary and all the things that need to change. But at the same time, to tie it back to like your risk adverse, let's change and let's make really big changes, but let's not make that be a scary thing. Let's make sure everybody's really comfortable with it. It's been making me laugh for quite some time. Just having gone through a lot of changes, both in my personal life and in companies, watching trajectory from 50 to $300+ million a year in revenue and the changes that brings, or startups from the ground up, It is the people taking the biggest risks who see the biggest rewards and see those change happen faster. If you're too stuck on preserving the status quo and making sure that everybody's comfortable, I find that you really miss out on opportunities. They don't come back around. They tend to happen when you're kind of ripe for it and looking for them. Are there any examples that you have with Vestigo in terms of companies that you've worked with and partnered with for these team building opportunities? Have they shared any feedback with you about the changes that have happened in their organization that came about as a result of doing one of your experiences?
Yeah, for sure. So it's, there's so many factors that go into what creates an outcome in a company that you can never be like, this one experience you did with Vestigo is the reason for this. But in general, the feedback we get from the leadership of the company is that people are more willing to take risks. And that means they're more willing to try something new and more willing to innovate, as kind of one of the main outcomes. But it's also a lot of there's also a lot of benefit in the relationships as well. So we've heard some feedback that two employees that previously like did not get along because they just didn't understand each other's communication styles, after that were much better at collaborating because we had a specific exercise focused on team communication, and that helped them to talk through a little bit of their differences and why they had that difference of communication and create a way of interaction that was better than before. So, yeah.
Good. And then can you share anything about your own corporate culture and kind of how you've implemented these things that you're clearly passionate about into your own corporate culture and any feedback from your teams? Just like to know a little bit more about kind of how you guys work together and if you incorporate these experiences on your teams as well, or how you go about making sure that you guys are staying innovative and taking risks and pushing beyond your comfort zone.
Yeah, well, nothing's better than reality because it's real, no matter how good VR gets. So we all do, real life adventures together. So we all, go mountain bike and whitewater kayak together when there's, good water flow in the rivers. Like if we get a hurricane that comes through and all the rivers are like crazy high, we'll, cancel work for the day and go kayaking, and have a culture of being able to go through these experiences together with our team, and challenge our own limits together, in person as well. As we've grown more into virtual reality, a lot of our team has been more spread across the country, but we still get the chance to get together every now and then. Of course, we use virtual reality to meet, and to go through our own programs too. But we always like getting together in person, of course.
Yeah, it is always a feel-good, fun time when you can be together with people you care about in person.
For sure.
But virtual reality is an awesome opportunity because it's been hard for everybody to do that.
Yeah.
Marshall, what's one of the best compliments you've ever received in your professional life?
Oh man. I don't know.
I'm sure people say nice things about you often.
Yeah, but I try not like, I don't memorize what that person said because I'm just like I'm try to be pretty humble.
Well, fair enough. I was putting you on the spot, so if you can't think of one, that's fine. We
I
can
mean,
move on.
there's a lot. I just don't really like talking about myself in that way. But I can send you some of like some testimonials that we've had and some, I don't know. But
No need to send me anything. I appreciate your humility. We can move on. Are there any questions that you wish I'd asked you? And if so, how would you have answered?
I think you asked some really good questions. Yeah, I think you covered a lot and really enjoyed doing it.
All right, fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit about the types of, so you mentioned fully remote, but do you work specifically with particular size companies in terms of smaller, medium, large size companies? Do you have any kind of similar industries, any kind of target customer that you've worked primarily with? Or are you really just open to anybody who cares about their people, wants to keep them, and is willing to invest in creating that environment for their team?
Yeah, it really is a bunch of different types of companies, but a lot of times we will work with larger companies on a departmental basis. So the companies that have invested in buying headsets tend to be the larger ones because they have the budget for it. So usually we'll work with teams of, like 200 to 300, and break those groups into group sizes of 30 to 50. It's usually the 50 is the maximum group size that we can lead because you it's a processing power limitation of the headsets. It takes a lot of processing power to have everyone together in the same environment and process all of those, you know, facial expressions and hand movements and everything of all the people in the environment. So group sizes of less than 50, but usually departments that are about 200 to 300.
All right, fantastic. Well, please tell everybody where to find you and best way to reach out for more information on your experiences.
Yeah, so you can just Google Vestigo or go to vestigo.co and reach out through the website. We've got a lead gen you know, email capture right there on the front homepage. You can let us know what you're looking for, what company you're a part of, your team size. And of course, people can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, at Marshall Mosher, Marshall with two L's. And of course, reach out there with any questions as well.
All right. Well, Marshall, thanks so much. I appreciate your time and appreciate you sharing all of this with us. Have a good one.
Thanks. You as well.